Welcome to Dream Machine. My name is Aaron.
My name is Patricia.
I'm Patricia. Are you ready for some more Kung Fu Panda action?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, we might as well.
Cool, okay. So, this is going to be the fourth movie in the Kung Fu Panda franchise. And so, for those of you who do not know, we've actually reviewed all three Kung Fu Panda movies so far. And so, the first one we really did adore, and we really enjoyed Jack Black and Angelina Jolie and various other people who were involved in that. The second movie, I think, was fantastic. I think, you know, it really gave an emotional roller coaster, I think, for the Furious Five and also for Poe, definitely in that one. And then the third movie was okay. I mean, like, it wasn't like groundbreaking. So with those three movies out of the way, I wonder what four is going to be like.
Yeah, we were thinking about that for quite a while. We did hear all the way back in around 2010 that they were planning on releasing six films on Kung Fu Panda, but then changes happened during the year of 2012-2013 when there was a massive amount of box office failures and underperforming films that were released. A lot of the people from DreamWorks were fired. Then Jeffrey Katzenberg left afterwards. And then various people, they went off and did different things. And other priorities started to set in. And so, yeah, Kung Fu Panda was put off the side for about a few years, with the exception of the animated series. Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness was still airing on Nickelodeon, and then after that series ended, there was Kung Fu Panda Dragon Knight. And so, yeah, even though that we hadn't had a Kung Fu Panda film in about 8 years, in a way, it hasn't really left our pop culture zeitgeist. And so when we heard the news about a Kung Fu Panda 4 coming out, we were really excited. It's like, oh yeah, we really enjoyed Kung Fu Panda. And we were thinking about, like, okay, let's see what other adventures and other possibilities that Poe and the gang can be able to be a part of. And so we heard more and more information about it, and we gotten excited until, of course, there was the infamous allegations that were posted on Reddit of former people who worked on Kung Fu Panda 4 and on DreamWorks talking about that NBC Universal wants to now take the DreamWorks films and take it out of in-house to be produced by other animation companies. And at first we were thinking, okay, well, this will give the other animation studios opportunities for them to work out their stuff. But then we heard some other things, such as like following corporal mandates, and then various celebrities couldn't be a part of the movie because they were going to be overpaid and they didn't want to spend that money. And then we talked about this in depth on Aaron and Patricia, that there was a lot of writing on the wall of some directions that they wanted to take it into, but they were refused by the executives. And only because they were so passionate about it was included literally in the last minute. And so that was when we started getting a little bit hesitant on what Kung Fu Panda 4 was going to be about, especially since, unfortunately, DreamWorks is at a low point once again. After 2022, when we heard that, okay, they're going to be going into a different direction with releasing films like The Bad Guys and then coming back into Puss in Boots with, you know, The Last Wish, we were really excited. It's like, oh wow, now they're finally getting things back on track. But then Trolls Band Together pretty much just like killed it. And then we talked about Orion in the Dark last time, and it was a film that was just more confusing. And I really don't even hear a lot of people talking about that film anymore since, you know, it's a Netflix exclusive. Now all the hatred has gone over to Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate, which, by the way, here's the thing. That is not an official DreamWorks animation property. It is based off of a collaboration with DreamWorks Animation Television. It's a pilot to the animated series that is up on Peacock. Yeah, let's just be honest. I mean, the vitriol hate of it is kind of hard to ignore with all the people saying that, you know, this is not a proper sequel to Megamind, which was a film that came out a few years ago. So yeah.
Anyway, this brings us to Kung Fu Panda 4. And so,
yeah.
By the way, I know we've gone through a lot here, and I know we've kind of like, you know, been kind of like, you know, delaying the inevitable, but let's go straight into it. So, will this be worthy of the Dragon Warrior, or is it not worth stealing?
Okay, here we go.
So, Kung Fu Panda 4 takes place in this particular story. Boaz, the Dragon Warrior, has defeated many foes. He has to resign to become the spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace. So he must choose a successor to take his role as the Dragon Warrior. But unfortunately, a new shape-shifting villain, as the Chameleon, will challenge him along his journey as she brings back the three opponents from Po's past. Luckily, she meets a plucky fox named Shen, who guides him through this big city and tries to lead him to the Chameleon's lair. So, I mean, we knew this from the get-go that, Po was eventually is now pretty much going to move away from being the Dragon Warrior and is now going to basically be the spiritual leader. But I think the interesting thing, I think we should probably talk about the positives, I think, about this movie is that, I mean, Jack Black once again nails it as Po. And really relays the emotions of being conflicted about he's really accepted his time as being the Dragon Warrior, and he feels like that's the only thing that he feels like he's good at, and finally he's got it, and he doesn't really want to let it go. And he tries the whole spiritual leader thing, but he realizes that he's not really good at proverbs. He's not very good at giving advice. He's not very good at basically being wise. If anything, as we all know, Po is, quite a silly panda, as we all know. And so it's sort of like he's no way anywhere near to, Oogway when he was a spiritual leader, in the first movie. So I think, you really do feel the conflict within Po's character. And, I think Jack Black does a really good performance, as he did with Bowser back in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Absolutely, yes. And I think that with Po's struggle of trying to become this new spiritual leader, we can see from the course of the films that, he has a bit of maturity that he has developed as the Dragon Warrior, but he's mostly focused on his physical aspect of being a warrior as opposed to his spiritual aspect, which I guess we kind of got a little bit of it with the previous films, but this is the case in which he really needs to emphasize the fact that he's going to be given advice and he's going to be connecting with everybody to see if they can be able to go to him to solve their problems. And he doesn't feel like he's capable of doing that, especially since his personality is a lot more outgoing as opposed to being a lot more quiet and zen like the previous master, which was Oogway. And the fact that he now has to choose a spiritual successor to the Dragon Warrior, he feels that he is not sure if he can be able to find the perfect person. Even earlier in the movie, when him and Shifu are looking through every candidate and they all had potentials to be the Dragon Warrior, he just didn't feel it because, well, he feels like he's not ready to be able to go into that next step. And you really do feel the inner struggles that Po is going through. And there'll be some other parts that we'll cover later on, but I think that the characterization of Po is done really well here.
Yeah. So we are eventually introduced to what is going to be now our new Dragon Warrior, which is Shen. And I mean, Patricia, what do you think of our new Dragon Warrior?
I do think that Shen kind of follows in a pretty stereotypical thing about, like, okay, we have this trouble thief who becomes good at the end but struggles on becoming good because of her upbringing. It's pretty typical. And voiced by Awkwafina again, after we just saw her in The Bad Guys. And in fact, she's been pretty much everywhere lately. I was watching this movie with our friends, Joel and Giselle, and I saw this movie with my sister Carlene, and even she was pointing it out when she heard Zhen speak for the first time. It's like, is that Awkwafina again? And I'm like, well, yeah, because she's been in a lot of recent things lately. Like mentioned before, she was in The Bad Guys. We recently finished watching the Bug's Life documentary miniseries on Disney Plus. She was in a movie on Hulu called Quiz Lady. So yeah, she's been in a lot of things lately, especially a lot of animated films. And so just hearing her speaking as Shen after we just see her as Miss Tarantula, it's like, okay, well, here we go again with Awkwafina with another performance. And I would say that the characterization of Shen is pretty typical. I would have liked to have seen one of the Furious Five had a chance of becoming the Dragon Warrior, especially Tigress, since she worked so hard on it, but I guess that's not really the case at all.
Well, I mean, this is the thing about this. You don't really have a Kung Fu Panda movie unless you have, the Furious Five, which, for in this movie, we don't. Like
No, we don't.
all of them are effectively explained away. So Tigress is off doing something else, and everyone is like saying, oh, they're in this place or in that place, or they're negotiating peace, or like they're trying to avoid being decapitated by their wife. Like it's just it's they explain everyone away, and when they go through all of that, like you think, oh yeah, well we're gonna finally see them somewhere down the line in the movie, but no, we actually just see them like in the end credits.
And the reason why was because that the executives didn't even want to put them in the first place, because even Angelina Jolie was asking for like $40 million for like 1 hour of voice acting, and they said no. I mean, the Kung Fu Panda 4 has the lowest budget out of the making of this movie. It only has $85 million. And we talked about this when we covered Shrek 2, that Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, and Cameron Diaz all ask for essentially like one third of Shrek 2's budget so that they can come back to voice their characters again. And considering that NBC Universal is going through a bit of a change lately and wanting to just cut costs by outsourcing their films to other studios, I guess it makes sense why we don't get to see the Furious Five throughout the movie until literally the end. And that's only because the animators wanted to put them in because they love them so much.
I mean, I guess Angelina Jolie was too busy doing Maleficent 3 before, while doing that, like, that masterpiece. So,
Yeah,
like,
and Seth
yeah.
Rogen, and to be fair, Seth Rogen was working on TMNT, Mutant Mayhem. So I guess that's one thing. And Jackie Chan, from what I heard, Jackie Chan is going to be collaborating, to do a new Karate Kid movie. And I thought, okay, well, that's really interesting. Are they going to be doing a continuation of, him and Jaden Smith's character? No, believe it or not, it's going to be a collaboration between the original actor of the original Karate Kid movies from the 80s, Ralph Macchio. And I'm like thinking, okay, that's an interesting crossover. But anyway, but yeah, it's kind of a disappointment that we don't get to see the Furious Five in this movie. And it does feel like something is missing when you're watching the action. But I try to like remove my expectations of saying, okay, well, if the Furious Five is not going to be in the movie, then maybe Shen might be a fun character, and maybe we'll get to see new characters being played around with.
You know what I've done in that situation? I would have said, like, look, I mean, like, it's going to be too expensive to get the original five back. So what if instead of like moving Poe into this spiritual leader sort of role, why don't we just have it where he forms a new five? Like, the five move on from, like, they want to, they've basically been fighting their entire lives and now they want to settle down and they want to, like, move on with new paths in their lives. And then, Master Shifu turns around and says, okay, well, as the Dragon Warrior, it is now your position to then create another five of warriors, and Shen could be part of like that five, and like you could bring in some other people too, like and then you've got that could have been easily the fourth movie effectively, and then you could, if you're going to be doing six Kung Fu Panda movies, at least then you've got some breathing space to say, okay, well now we've got these other five characters that we can bring in to do all of that, and maybe for the sixth movie, if we've got the budget for it, we'll bring them all back and we'll have like the massive fight scene with like all the classic characters, you know.
Yeah, like it would have been a great possibility if in the sixth and final film, it was very similar to Avengers Endgame, in which we have every Furious Five member, the old and the new, coming together to fight off one final bad guy that was built up throughout the course of the films. And maybe even in the spirit world, where we had the villains from the previous movies being set free. And then we have the one person who's controlling everything, and then they just fight them off, and then they become victorious at the end. Like, that would have been a great way to end it off completely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've got this. So, let's go with
Yeah,
that. So.
let's move on. So, yeah, so we have the scene in which when Shen finally goes into the temple so that she can be able to get something, and Po and Shen fight it off with each other, and Po is really impressed with Shen's abilities to sneak around and steal various items, and Shen is impressed with Po because of his abilities. But eventually, Shen is captured and put into prison, and then there's news going around about that Tai Lung has came back. I guess that's literally where the movie begins, is that Tai Lung has returned, and
Or
everybody
so
is
we
like,
think he's returned.
We think he's returned, and he even says, "Tell the dragon warrior that I have returned." And then he hears Poe hears the news, and then we have Shen saying, "Oh, I know where this is. This information is spreading around. It's not actually Tai Lung. It's actually the chameleon who can be able to shape shift into anybody that she wants. And she lives in Juniper City, and so." Poe has no other choice but to free Shen from prison so that she can be able to lead him over to Juniper City so that he can be able to fight off against the chameleon and take Tai Lung back into the spirit world and that everything goes back to normal.
So, I mean, the other things that this focuses on is that the dads also kind of get involved in the story as well. And Mr. Ping and then I do apologize, I forgot the other,
Lee
the
Sean.
Lee Sean. So they're obviously, getting on with each other in the restaurant. And so they let Poe go off and have this, next adventure for, for the last adventure of the Dragon Warrior. But obviously they're too worried and obviously end up following behind with him. And I don't know how to feel about this arc of the story. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we've not really had like, a chance with like these two characters. Like, have like a buddy trip to kind of go with one another and like, see them more interact a lot more. Definitely when they were kind of each other's throats in the third movie, effectively.
Right.
But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, they didn't really have that much impact in the story. If anything, they were just kind of like shadowing Poe up until like the third act, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. And they were worried because they feared that Poe was going to get hurt, even though that he is the Dragon Warrior. He's fought off against many opponents who are very threatening towards China. So they were fearing because of the chameleon, which, I can understand. The chameleon is a shapeshifter. She can be able to turn into anything. But I think that Poe can be strong enough to take on an adversary like that.
Yeah, like it's just it's. I mean, I can kind of understand like they needed to do something for the story, so, like to pad it up. But I mean, yeah, this wasn't necessary.
Yeah,
In
especially since, again, I think they're supposed to be like taking place of the Furious Five, which of course are not in this movie. So I guess the logical thing for them to is, hey, let's just focus on the two dads and trying to see if they can be able to catch up to their son to make sure that he's okay. And they do have some silly adventures, but it's just like backpacking to what was already happening previously. Okay, we have them climbing up the mountain. We having them going over to the pub. We have them crossing over to Juniper City. We have them finally going over to the palace where the chameleon is. And then finally they reunite with one another. So it's kind of like we've already seen these set pieces before, as opposed to seeing like new set pieces like we've seen in the previous films.
Yeah, so, and I mean, like, I have my own a kind of a better idea instead of like having like Mr. Ping and like the other dad and like I would have had like do something different, but I think maybe we should wait until we get into like spoiler territory before we start like telling everybody like what we would have thought we would have done instead because well I think we're also like, kind of building towards that, but I mean what do we think of the chameleon as our villain? In this movie, like I mean, she's played by Viola Davis, which I think is I think she does a very good job. I think in regards to hearing her as being menacing, but I don't know, like I don't like the idea of like oh I'm I want to like steal everybody's kung fu because I was told a long time ago that I was too small to learn kung fu, and like it's like I don't know how to feel about that. Like you've got. Quite a few people who could end up doing kung fu in this movie are like very small, but I don't know how to, like unless like her upbringing was like far different or anything like that, maybe that might be one way to explain it away. But I don't know. I thought the backstory for the villain was kind of weak.
It was very weak. Considering that the only reason why she wanted to become the leader of the entirety of Kung Fu magic was because she went over to every single trainer wanting to learn Kung Fu, and she was rejected because she was too small. Mantis is way smaller. And he is one of the Furious Five, one of the most powerful warriors in all of China.
Yeah.
If she would have went over to Shifu and asked him to train her in Kung Fu, we wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah, it's just and by the way, for those of you who said, "Oh, hey, I've heard this character before." She was Amanda Waller in Black Adam, but she's uncredited for that. And also she had Amanda Waller in the Suicide Squad too. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, I mean like so the villain their backstory is kind of weak. And also, we've got this thing with the dad, which is also, unfortunately, kind of weak as well. I mean, the only strong thing I think about this movie, unfortunately, is kind of like Poe, and maybe to like a smaller degree, maybe Shen. But even Shen comes across as kind of like, where they could have done like, padding her out a little bit more in regards to a character. I mean, like,
Yeah, like this
yeah.
is supposed to be our dragon warrior, and we don't really know too much about her other that, she was an orphan and she was in Juniper City trying to survive, and she was just trying to learn about stealing just so that she can be able to live through one thing at a time. And then we finally get to Juniper City, and she was raised by like a group of stealers and homeless people at first, but then she was taken in by her adopted mother, which we'll find out who it is later. And then she was going around and just stealing things. And that's it. I mean, that's literally her backstory,
Yeah.
just barely anything else other than that.
You know when they got to the Gang of Thieves? Wasn't that like a perfect time to cameo the bad guys?
Oh,
Yeah,
absolutely.
that would be a perfect time to do it.
I know that the village in where Poe and the gang live and Juniper City is completely different, but let's just say that maybe they were just over there. Maybe they wanted to like steal stuff because it's a bigger city and there's more opportunities. But yeah, that would have been really nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, but as saying, like, as a cameo, not as like them like appearing as characters in the movie.
Oh,
Like,
okay.
yeah, just like, they're in the background making up the numbers.
Well, that would have been nice.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be a cool little thing to do, but yeah, unfortunately they didn't. So, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, in regards to the music, I mean, like, if you've listened to the music of every other Kung Fu Panda movie, you're not really gonna find anything different here in Kung Fu Panda 4. It is basically the same score. That's you've seen previously, so I can't really comment any more on the music. But the one thing I'll definitely say this is that I mean they get Tenacious D to like do Oops I Did It Again from Britney Spears, which is kind of like kind of weird,
It
which
is
is
really weird.
I know like it doesn't really fit.
No, it doesn't really fit. What does Oops, I Did It Again have
Oh no,
anything
it's
to
not Oops I
do
Did It
with?
Again. Sorry, it's Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, Hit Me
Sorry,
Baby One More
it's
Time.
the
You're
first
right.
one.
It, yeah, I don't understand this either. And when I first heard that Tenacious D was going to be doing a song, I was like, oh, that's a really good idea, because we really did enjoy CeeLo Green when he did the Kung Fu Fighting cover. And I was thinking, okay, like what other kung fu or fighting songs or anything like this would have kind of build into this movie? I didn't expect a Britney Spears song to be put into this. And again, what is it with Hit Me Baby One More Time being put into animated films? This is the same complaint I had with robots. It's like, okay, why is it that in the scene in which when Fender is in the outfit and then is fighting off against the robots, they're playing off to Hit Me Baby One More Time? It's like, no, that was just stupid. Really, really stupid. I mean, you could have had any other fighting song in the movie, or maybe even a song about like, transitioning from one person to another to become the dragon warrior or finding inner peace or dinner please or whatever. I mean, it could have been any of the songs, but no, I guess not. I mean, we couldn't have like, I don't know, like You're the Best, which was featured in Karate Kid, or couldn't have had Hall of Fame by the Script, or we couldn't have various other songs. No, I guess not. We just had to have Hit Me Baby One More Time. And I know that it became like hugely popular on social media, but that's just because it's Tenacious D singing Hit Me Baby One More Time. It's not because it was featured in Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah, it's just do you know what it reminded me of? Like, do you remember when they did at the very end of Neverending Story 3, they did Born to Be Wild, and like
Yes.
it was just came out of completely out of nowhere, and yeah, it kind of reminded me of that. And by the way, whilst I talk about Neverending Story 3, guess who appeared in that movie too?
That would be Jack
Jack
Black.
Black. It slipped, but yeah, it's like it just did not fit the tone of like what Kung Fu Panda 4 needed to be. Definitely with the subject matter as well. Like, yeah, they totally missed the mark on that one, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, like, before we go into spoilers, I mean, like, I don't think I've got anything further to add, really.
I mean, I will say this, that I really did enjoy Juniper City. I really liked how large it was and how crowded and fast it was. I mean, they never had a Kung Fu Panda movie take place in the city. So it was actually a really nice change of pace and looking something a little bit different than what we've seen in the previous films, where we'd see a bunch of villages and wide open spaces and mountains and valleys. So I really like that they were able to change the scenery a little bit.
I guess, but I mean, like, I guess guess in the context of Kung Fu Panda, but I mean, we've seen far more impressive, Zootropolises, I guess you could say, in other movies, in like, AKA Zootopia. But I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I think it did the job of like what it needed to be, and I guess it was. I don't know, like, I don't know how to feel at the fact that in the city, no one knows who the Dragon Warrior is. Like, this is the guy
No.
who literally saved China.
Right.
Like, how can this city not know who he is?
Yeah, that is very weird. I guess it's kind of like the equivalent of a kid's show that is local in like one particular state. Okay. You are familiar with, Bozo the Clown in this particular state, but everywhere else they have their own kids show. So maybe it's that equivalent. I guess word doesn't really spread too far away from where they live compared to in the big city.
I mean, like, it was so in this particular, I can only think that Juniper City basically is like so isolated, like from the rest of China, like they don't understand what's going on.
I guess so, because in order for you to get to Juniper City, you have to go through a ferry. Just so that you can be able to get to the city. And the city is so vast that I guess you can only focus on what's going on in Juniper City
Oh
as
my God,
opposed
babe!
to anywhere else in the world.
Babe, it's Disney World.
What?
It's Disney World. Like, you have to go on a ferry to get there, and like it's so isolated from like everywhere else in the world, and like they all just kind of like live in their own bubble,
Oh,
basically. Like,
wow. Wow, you have a good point, actually.
it's just, like, I just put that together right now. It's Disney World. Great. Like, wait, I don't know what it is with DreamWorks wanting to kind of make fun of this trip. Like, they started off with like the with Shrek in the very first instance when they had Duolok. Effectively, and so yeah, they all like crazy, like these isolated like cities or like gardens or like worlds or like even they didn't even do the Croods as well, the Croods too, if you remember. Like,
Yes.
they had those two guys who they had that family, like the good family, if you will, and
Yeah, they had the
they're
good family, which isolated their entire land to prevent anybody from coming in or from going out. And they just cared about themselves. So, yeah, I mean, you have a point there.
Yeah, DreamWorks seems like to do this thing for some strange reason. Like, and it's not like it's just a recent thing either. They've been doing it for a long time,
Yeah, I mean,
effectively, yeah.
we literally talked about this in Trolls Band Together, in which at the golf course they believed that the Bergens were still evil and that they still aid trolls, when in reality they haven't done it in a very long time.
I mean, like, they've been doing this since the Road to El Dorado, I've just realized. Like,
Yeah,
you
they did
know,
the same
like.
thing with Road to El Dorado. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I could understand that because, I mean, of course that the natives would not be familiar with the Europeans because they didn't have really a lot of mode of transportation like ships or cars or planes or anything like that. I mean, it was the 1500s, so
Imagine that,
I
but
can.
yeah, but regardless of that, like, regardless of the circumstances, this seems to be a thing that DreamWorks seems to like to do. Like, they like isolated areas that explorers seem to go into,
Flushed Away is
effectively.
another great example. Okay, you have this rich, pompous mouse, and he just so happens to be flush in the toilet, and he's in a world of other creatures living in the sewers.
Oh my God, and also another one as well, like Insectopia from Ants.
Yes, Insectopia from Ants is another example. You're right.
Wow, we just discovered this right now. Good grief.
Wow.
Like, yeah, this is a trope that DreamWorks like to, I mean, like, is this the DreamWorks trope? Effectively, like, hey, isolated world and character goes exploring into it. It's just, it's wow. Okay, we discovered that today. So, yeah, but I mean, before we go into spoilers, I mean, like, I can't really think of like anything further to kind of like say about Kung Fu Panda 4 besides like it's it sort of does the standard stuff that you expect a Kung Fu Panda movie to do. Effectively,
Yeah.
but unfortunately, kind of doesn't go any further from that. And also, you can tell he's got his limitations too, so it's not the strongest of movies.
Yeah, I know for a lot of people who have been waiting 8 years for a follow-up to Kung Fu Panda 3, I guess it's going to be something that is very enjoyable on face value. Like, okay, you're going to see Po, you're going to see Shifu, you're going to see Mr. Ping, you're going to see Li Shang. They're going to go into a different city. You're going to have new characters. There's going to be a new villain who's going to be threatening. They're going to be like little cameos and references to previous characters that were featured in the films. So, yeah, I would say on face value, it is entertaining, but if you're looking for something like very funny and at the same time very impactful and deep, unfortunately, you're not going to find it here.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. Well, we're gonna go into spoilers. So if you haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 4 already, then please go off and watch it, and then after that, come back with us, and we'll tell you what we really fully think about the movie. So,
All right.
Okay, so okay, guys, we're in spoiler territory now, so here we go. So, in regards to the whole thing with Shen, I mean, like that sort of disappointed me a little bit, really. Like we, she gets the staff and then hands it straight over to Chameleon. It's kind of like, oh well, like she's been working with Chameleon this entire time. And it's just it's that's the reason why the thieves don't trust her. I mean, like it should have been, it should have been good in a way. But I've got to be honest, it kind of felt a bit flat, when it
Yeah,
happened.
and pretty predictable. Like I was saying before, Carling and I were watching this movie together, and the moment that Shen was saying, "Oh, I'm an orphan. I was in Juniper City where I had to fend for myself, and then somebody took me in and raised me and taught me everything about stealing and not trusting people." And then she whispered in my ear saying, "It's the chameleon, isn't it?" And then finally, when we got the reveal that Shen stole the staff and gave it to the chameleon, and then Carling was like, called it. So yeah, even
Yeah.
she was able to predict this like from a mile away.
It's very disappointing, isn't it? And
Yeah.
I was thinking what they should have probably done is that, do you remember the SpongeBob SquarePants movie? They had like that mercenary who was like, following, SpongeBob and
Oh,
Patrick
Dennis,
behind
yeah.
Dennis. Yeah, I mean, they should have had like kind of like a Dennis character, if anything. Like, Shen, had probably run away, and then the Chameleon sent this Dennis character to try and go, get her again. But then she finds out that, the character, Shen's gone off with Po to go back to Juniper City. So like, the Dennis character then goes and chases off behind him, and then he leaves basically like, a trail of destruction in their wake. And like, well, then they could have had like a face off with that instead of like having the dads go flying off after them. Like, where build the world up a little bit more, like introduce a new character. This is the thing about this. Like, there was such a good opportunity. If you're not gonna get the five back, then at least you had an opportunity to like, create some new characters and like, bring in some more people. To be honest with you, outside of like, Shen and Po, I mean, like, there wasn't really anything any of the other characters I really got kind of engaged in, or like, or I can remember, like, walking away from the movie.
Right.
And so, that's kind of sad in itself. Like, he had this opportunity to like build, some new faces that we could get accustomed to, and they didn't do that.
And it's really sad too, because I mean, there was some potential of a Cars 3 or a Creed situation in which, okay, we've had a character that we've seen go from the underdog to the champion, and now they're at the point in which either they're going to retire or they're going to take their skills and pass it to the next generation. And we were really excited when we heard that concept because, the Creed films have become really, really big, just as much as the Rocky films, in which we have Adonis Creed learning from Rocky Balboa, very similar to how Rocky Balboa was trained by Mickey. And so, okay, we were thinking that this could be a possibility that, we went from, this panda who wanted to be a dragon warrior to somebody who became the dragon warrior, and now maybe at a point in which that, okay, maybe Po is not becoming as strong as he used to, or maybe he wants to be able to retire in peace and go over to the village with the other pandas, and he wants to be able to pass his skills on to a good, warrior who has the potential to become somebody like that. And we thought that maybe that'll be an interesting journey into like passing the torch to the next generation. But in a way, it's not because the character is very stereotypical. It's like, okay, we have a thief who becomes homeless, who was raised by a bad guy, and now she's trying to fight off and becoming good, even though that she was raised by a certain mentality of becoming bad just so that she can survive. And then that brings the question about that. Yeah, Shen knows Kung Fu pretty well. How did she learn that if the chameleon never taught her that? Did she learn from the homeless people? That couldn't be because they focus on stealing.
Oh, they're the
So
thieves,
yeah.
not the homeless people.
Oh yeah, the thieves. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, where did she learn how to sneak around and fight as well as she does? That doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, it's just it's so yeah, that's a big plot hole in the middle of all of that. And so yeah, that didn't make much sense. And so and this is a shame really, because like they the thieves in like in underground should have, I think, had far more presence than they did. And I don't know, they just came ac I mean, I was again, they're supposed to be like, a gang of bandits and everything like that, but they should have been like, a sense to make them likable in some way, and they just didn't do it. And you later on find find out why, you know, the leader of, like, you know, the thieves didn't trust Shen because obviously of what she did in regards to, you know, working with the Chameleon. I get that, but at the same time, like, it would have been good if I kind of like this mothering character, if anything. And they just didn't do that. And so, if anything, the whole thing comes across as mean spirited.
Yeah,
There's
and then Poe has this issue where he feels like he can't trust anybody because he was betrayed by Shem. And so he even questions himself that he's not capable of becoming a spiritual leader, because if he is not able to trust somebody like Shen, who he taught everything, he gave her advice, and then she goes off and stabs him in the back, it's like, yeah, there's a reason why Poe doesn't feel like he's ready to become a spiritual leader. Because, you know, we have somebody like the Chameleon who's has the capabilities of becoming the greatest kung fu master in the world because she stole the techniques of Tai Lung and General Tai and various other villains, and she is going to be able to take over Juniper City first and then take over all of China and possibly the world. And so now we have a scene in which when Poe is unsure of himself, and it makes a lot of sense because he's trusting, he's caring, he's compassionate, and he wants to give other people the opportunity to become better versions of themselves. But when they go and stab in the back, then yeah, there's a reason why he doesn't feel like he's ready to be giving away his status as the Dragon Warrior. Because he himself is a spiritual leader, he needs to be able to give advice for people, and what's going to happen when they not only not do that, but they go off against him.
Oh, by the way, have you heard this story before? Like, you know, like, oh, the evil emperor gets the apprentice, and then, like, the apprentice probably finds, you know, some good in what's going on, and then betrays the emperor and then defeats her, and it's like, you know, actually, I wonder what's forcing me to have that idea. I have no idea.
I know where you're going with this.
Again, like, it's just I feel like, on top of that, I feel like there's no originality in this script. Like, you know, it's just it's we have the, you know, the thief who's obviously going to betray and then turn good in the end. I mean, we've seen that sort of kind of thing before, and you know, Poe is just Poe in this. Like, you know, he does basically go through some sort of character evolution. He eventually accepts that he's going to become the spiritual leader, and then picks Shen to be the Dragon Warrior, you know, in this. And it's just it's I mean, I kind of feel disappointed, like, you know, he basically the way that I've got two things to say about this. So the way that they introduce Shen as the Dragon Warrior is that Master Shifu basically says, it's like, really? Like, you know, that's our introduction to, like, the Dragon Warrior in all of this. I thought there'd be like some kind of, like, massive ceremony, or like there'd be like something really big and make it huge, like, so, like, a really big, I mean, this is a really big moment because, like, you know, he's a Dragon Warrior. Even when Poe was selected as the Dragon Warrior, they played that up in the first movie, like, you know, where with Oogway, you know, pointing to to Poe when he fell, like, you know, out of the sky. If anything, like, you know, if anything, that was quite a big moment. But if anything, they kind of just play it for laughs, which is like, you know, I which obviously I didn't laugh. So, like, that was pretty poor. And so the thing about this, you know, in a way, I kind of feel a bit bad for Master Shifu. I mean, like, that I know this might sound a bit crazy, but if you think about it, like, you know, he has really been, like, you know, thrown to the side, hasn't he? In the last couple of movies, like, you know, he is really stubborn, and he is really, like, you know, within his ways and everything like that, and that probably, like, stops him from probably, like, you know, we're getting, you know, spiritual leadership in that way, I guess. But I mean, like, he's way wiser than Poe, and he's way wiser than some of the other people in this movie. And yeah, he has his moments, of course he does, but it was him who came up with the techniques to be able to teach Poe about in the ways of kung fu, you know, through food and things like that. So, like, you know, he does ascertain some integrity in regards to knowledge and things like that. I really thought that what was going to happen is that Poe says, oh, look, I'm knowledgeable enough to know that I'm not good at the spiritual leader stuff, but I'm knowledgeable to know that Master Shifu is. I believe that you should be the spiritual leader, and then obviously compel Master Shifu to take on that mantle. If anything, I thought that's the direction that we were going to go in, but no. Poe is now the spiritual leader, or the fifth spirit, whatever you want to call it. And now we've got Shen, who has basically just been shooed in as the Dragon Warrior, and in a way, it's pretty disappointing.
And I guess I could understand that the reason why that Master Shifu was not called in to being the spiritual warrior in the first place was because, yes, he knows about Kung Fu, and yes, he knows about spiritual enlightenment, but I guess there are some things that he does not have that give them the qualifications of being the one to give advice to people. I mean, yes, he is very stubborn and in his ways, but at the same time, he is very knowledgeable and he has the capabilities of doing that.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Shifu in Tomb of Thunder 4, if anything, because you can see how disappointed he is in the fact that, he's been passed up for, for being spiritual leader and, other great things, in this. And, yeah, in a way, I kind of feel pretty terrible. I kind of hope maybe in the fifth movie, it should be about him, if anything. So, yeah, everything that he's
Yeah,
been through
exactly.
in the last four movies. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
I mean,
just.
he doesn't really get in a lot of development afterwards. I mean, we see him training Po in the first movie, and then afterwards, his relevancy gets a little bit less and less, up until the point in which
If you're
that.
not going to be able to get other celebrities into this, I mean, at least get because whose voice is Master Shifu in
Dustin
Tomb of
Hoffman.
Thunder? Doesn't Hoffman, if you got Dustin Hoffman, in a booth for for a good period of time, maybe make it more about him instead of the dads, I don't know, I just feel I feel bad, I just feel like he's been shoved to the side. If anything, they really should have made the movie more. They should have included him more in this, in my opinion. And but again, I go back to it. I think this is the wrong story. I don't think it should be about Po going over to being the spiritual leader. If anything, it should be about the five have now split and have now gone their separate ways and now have, want to achieve other things in life. And it's now up to Po to get another five together. And you get another five celebrities and you go and you just go, and Shen could have been part of that. If you're gonna be able to get Awkwafina into the voice booth without too much trouble, then you might as well have her as one of the five, if anything. Have her as the replacement for Angelina Jolie and Tigress. So.
I wonder how they're going to be able to do the remaining two films, knowing that from now on, we're probably going to be focusing on Po as the spiritual leader and Shen is going to be our next dragon warrior.
And and also you just got Mr. Ping and he's the other dad and it doesn't really you look at the voice cast and it doesn't make you look forward to Kung Fu Panda 5, does it?
Yeah, I mean, unless, of course, if they're able to change things around, like what they did with Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, in which the first Puss in Boots movie was all right. It wasn't anything fantastic or anything like that, especially compared to the Shrek films. But then they were able to change it around with The Last Wish. So if they are able to sit down and take this seriously, saying, okay, we have two Kung Fu Panda movies to go. What can we do to build up to a stellar finale? Okay, we're gonna know that we have Shen to play around with. Maybe there's some adversaries from the past that she has to fight off against. And maybe Po, spreading his wisdom maybe causes something that it's a connection to Shen's backstory. Let's see if we can put that together. And then maybe we can have a follow-up with the final film in which, we could have taken the chameleon side of the story in which, she brings back all the previous villains. And we have Po and the old Furious Five, and then the new Furious Five coming in, taking down this baddie once and for all, taking down the old adversaries, and then we could just end it off right there with peace in China. And that's it. Like, I think that that was a better way to end things off. But
Yeah.
now we're just in a standstill at the moment. It's like we said, what about Toy Story 4? It's like, okay, now we have Woody is becoming a lost toy with Bo Peep. What can you do with Toy Story 5? Are you going to focus it on Woody and the gang with them being lost toys and going around and, finding toys and giving them to owners? But then what are you going to do with Buzz and the gang? Or, okay, we're going to focus on Buzz and the gang and what their lives are like with Bonnie. And maybe Bonnie gets older and maybe eventually, she's not interested in playing with them anymore. But then, you're not going to have Woody anymore. So, yeah, it's kind of a interesting parallel that we're in at the moment, in which we have these fourth installments, and we know that there's going to be more movies, but we don't know what direction that they're going to go into. It's confusing.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, I mean, I've got nothing further to add, I think, to
Yeah,
Kung Fu Panda
let's
4.
just yeah, let's
That's
just score this.
okay, so here's the thing about this. So, allow me to explain. Kung Fu Panda 4, I mean, it definitely does have its problems. However, I mean, I like Jack Black's performance in this. Aquafina, I think, does an all right job as Shen with the limited ability that she's basically got with the character limitations and everything like that. Like, I mean, it is in Kung Fu Panda 4's, defense, a bigger journey going into a massive city. It's just unfortunate that no one knows who the Dragon Warrior is and everything like that, which kind of makes not much sense. And so, unfortunately, I think that Kung Fu Panda 4, I think, is just is held up by like a very poor story, very standard, your typical Kung Fu Panda 4 kind of presentation and everything, and the five just basically been shoehorned in basically at the very end of the movie in the credits, and not even really being worthy of a credit, let alone anything else. And so, I mean, this, while it is not the best Kung Fu Panda movie, I mean, it does sort of, in my book, kind of pass as a Kung Fu Panda 4 movie. However, I mean, I would say that it is a very, 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 very minimal pass in regards to, Kung Fu Panda 4. And it does make me wonder about what on earth they were doing 5 and 6. So I would say 5.5 out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 6 because, like I said before, I really did enjoy the fact that they were able to change scenery as opposed to like another village like we got in the previous films. Jack Black does a really great job of emphasizing the struggles of trying to be an enlightened spiritual leader and giving away his status as a dragon warrior. He still is fun self, but he also has a bit of turmoil when he's being betrayed by Shen. I really did like that part. I thought that the animation was really well done, and I also enjoyed the fact that, yes, it's true that, Shen doesn't really stand out too much as a character that was original. I mean, she is fine. It's nothing really too wrong about her, and the chameleon is performed really nicely. But again, it just feels much more weaker than the other previous Kung Fu Panda films, in which, the first one was really, really funny. The second one had a lot of drama in it. The third one was, it had some revelations where we do get to see more pandas, especially since we thought they were wiped out in the previous movie. Yeah, I mean, I would just say that it doesn't have like a massive connection towards the others in terms of its quality, but I would say it's decent enough. Like, if you did not know about the behind the scenes issues that it was going through with the corporate mandates and the fact that it has a much lower budget than the previous Kung Fu Panda films, and you're just watching it to have entertainment, you'll be okay with it. But if you're looking for something that goes above and beyond the other sequels, you're not going to find it here. So that's why I'm going to give it a 6.
All right then. Well, that wraps up another episode of Dream Machine. So, where we're going to go next in regards to Dream Machine, we will let you know because we're not too sure. We're still on the fence of whether we're going to do Megamind versus the Doom Syndicate, and also, I think we're waiting for our next DreamWorks movie. Which Patricia, do you have that
Yes, it's
lined
the
up?
Wild Robot, and that's going to be coming out in September. And from what I understand, it's the very last DreamWorks film that's going to be done in-house, because from this point onward, everything is going to be done outside the studio.
Yeah. But until then, take care and bye for now.
See you later.